Court have four clauses on its oral submission docket. In the order in which they will be presented, they are as follows. Marsha Fuller French, trustee of the WM Fuller Management Company versus Chevron USA Incorporated, Meridian Oil Incorporated, InSearch Exploration Incorporated, Skurlock Permian Corporation, Fibro Energy USA Incorporated, Rosalie E.S. Calvert Ray, individually and his wife tenant, Corner Payne Oil Trust, David Randolph Ray Jr., and others from Ward County. C.J. Doe, individually, and his next friend of C.G. Doe, her minor child. B.M. Coe, individually, and his next friend of R.M. Coe and A.C. Coe, their minor grandchildren, versus the Boys Clubs of Greater Dallas Incorporated from Dallas County. The Lenape Resources Corporation, doing business as Pomfret Production Company Incorporated and doing business as Intercorp Resources Incorporated. Tesoro Exploration and Production Company, Gulf Energy Pipeline Company, and Coastal Oil and Gas Corporation versus Tennessee Gas Pipeline Company from Bexar County, and Haynes and Boone versus Bowser Boodman Limited and others from Bexar County. In the first three of these causes, the court has permitted each side to make 20 minutes of oral argument. The petitioner may reserve a portion of that time for rebuttal by so advising the marshal of the court. Final cause, the allotment is 25 minutes. We are recording each of these arguments for the court's convenience. If you desire to listen to a tape of the arguments, you may make application with our clerk. The court will take a brief recess in between the presentation of each argument. The court is now ready to hear argument from petitioner in French versus Chevron.
May it please the court, Mr. H. Allen Pennington and Mr. Andrew C. Rexel present argument for petitioner. Petitioner has reserved 5 minutes for rebuttal. Mr. Pennington will open the first 2.5 minutes.
May it please the court. My name is Alan Pennington, and I'm here with Andy Rector and Sam Denny. We're with the firm of Lossnaker & Gamble representing the appellant, Marsha Fuller French, trustee of the WM Fuller Management Trust. The issue in this case is very simple. It is whether an oil and gas deed conveys a royalty interest or a mineral interest. And the key phrase in the deed at issue states, this is a royalty interest only. Thus, appellant urges that this is a conveyance of a royalty interest, as expressly stated. Mr. Rector is going to compare the language in the deed before the court, which we'll call the Paul deed, to the deed in Watkins versus Slaughter, which is the case principally relied upon by appellant, and also the deed in Altman versus Blake, which is the case principally relied upon by the appellees. And in the context of discussing these deeds and comparing the language in the deeds, we'll discuss some of the rules of construction applicable to this court's task. I will handle the rebuttal argument. In summary, it is clear that this particular deed must be interpreted as a royalty conveyance. The absence of the use of the vague and general phrase, actual production, is irrelevant in light of the fact that it states that it is a royalty interest only. It is also irrelevant, as the case law shows, that the right to develop is not mentioned in the deed as being expressed or granted. We urge this court to give credence to the express definition of this interest as a royalty interest, to reverse the summary judgment that was rendered, and to grant summary judgment to appellant. At this time, Mr. Rector will compare the deed language in the significant cases. Thank you. May it please the court. As Mr. Pennington discussed, the sole issue before the court today is whether the deed language in the Paul deed at issue conveys a mineral interest or a royalty interest. A mineral interest is actually five inherent rights combined together. The right to delay rentals, the right to bonus, the right to execute leases, the right to develop the land for oil and gas, and most importantly today, the right to production. The task of the court is to interpret the deed language and determine which of these five rights are conveyed and which are retained. Each of the five rights can be conveyed or retained separately without the others. Now, to assist the court in doing this, the courts have established several rules of construction. The most basic one is the Four Corners Doctrine. The court should strive to determine the intent of the parties by what the express language in the deed specifies. The court is to read the language and try to give effect to all the phrases and all the clauses. because to some extent, the parties intended that language to express their intent. Now, it doesn't matter where within the deed the specific language falls. You read the four corners of the document and determine what the four corners says. And the court should strive to harmonize any inconsistencies because, again, the parties intended each phrase and each clause to some extent express their intent. Now, if I may, I'm going to roam over to the visual aids, and they correspond to what each of you have here. This is the Paul deed, the language that issued before the court today. The initial description of the interest, undivided 1656 interest in and to all the oil and gas and other minerals in and under may be produced from the described land. Clearly, this language by itself describes a mineral interest. Now, we contend this whole deed describes a royalty interest. If this is all the language that was on the deed, it would be a mineral. We don't contend otherwise. But the deed proceeds further to define and describe the nature and extent of the interest. It specifically excludes from the interest being conveyed the right to bonus and the right to rentals. It specifically excludes the right to execute leases. And to make it absolutely clear what the parties intended, they said it is understood and agreed that this conveyance is a royalty interest only. Now, only the word of exclusion, the only interest being conveyed is a right to production as a royalty interest. And it is undisputed that a right to production as a royalty can be separately conveyed or retained in a deed. Now, this is Watson versus Slaughter, which this court heard and interpreted deed language that we contend is indistinguishable from the language at issue today. The initial description of the interest in Watkins, undivided 1/16th interest in and to all the oil and gas and other minerals that may be produced from said land. We contend it's identical to our initial description of the interest. This court in Watkins held that by itself, this language describes a mineral interest. But this court recognized that the grantor was careful to describe his intent in four separate parts of the deed. And the court also recognized that the deed went further, went beyond the initial description to describe the nature and extent of the interest being conveyed and to identify each right that was being included in this interest retained in Watkins. The right to bonus rentals were specifically excluded from the interest being retained. The right to execute leases was specifically excluded. And then here again in Watkins, the parties made very sure the intent was expressed. The grantor, his heirs and sons, shall receive the royalty retained herein only from actual production. The parties called it a royalty interest. This court in Watkins held that it was clear the intent was to retain a royalty because that's what they called it. They called it a royalty interest. The court applied the rules of construction interpreting this deed. It said that the court cannot construe this as retaining a mineral interest because they would have to ignore the specific reference to the interest as a royalty interest. The rules of construction do not allow that. Here again, the court applying the Four Corners Doctrine stated it did not matter that the reference to the interest as a royalty was in a subsequent provision of the deed. The court said you read the language together and read it as if it said an undivided 1/16th royalty interest. The court said if it had said that, there could be no contention that this was a mineral. And this court said in Watkins they were not going to interpret the language differently merely because the specific reference to the interest as a royalty was in another part of the deed. Now, the Court of Appeals in El Paso, in this case, distinguished Watkins because Watkins' language is, shall receive the royalty retained herein from actual production. And I apologize, I left this off on the visual aid. The El Paso court held that the words from actual production are required. Got to not be enough to call a royalty. It's got to be a royalty from actual production. Now, the Amarillo Court of Appeals in 1990 specifically dealt with this issue in a case called Neal v. Alpar Resources. And that court held that the words from actual production in Watkins are not exclusive words of art that are required to create a royalty interest. You can call it a royalty, and that's good enough. This court in Local v. White a few years ago interpreted the deed as conveying a royalty interest, and there was no specific reference to production in that deed. And I submit to you that we do refer to production here. Watkins tells us to interpret this deed at issue as an undivided 1/656
royalty interest into the oil and gas that may be produced from, notified 1656 royalty interest produced from the following described land. I submit to you, we have a reference to actual production here, but it is not required. I want to discuss this court's opinion in Austin versus Blake, which the Court of Appeals and the respondents contend is dispositive of this case. The initial description of the lands in Austin is identical to Watkins, identical to the Paul D, and by 1/16th interest in and through the oil and gas and other minerals. In and under it may be produced from 30 by itself, that's a mineral. The deed in Austin goes further. There's no specific reference to the interest as a royalty at all. The right to bonus and rentals are excluded. The right to execute leases is excluded. This court correctly held in Austin that a mineral interest, shorn of the right to bonus, rentals, right to execute leases, still a mineral interest. This court in Austin stated that Watkins did not control the Austin deed because, unlike in Watkins, there's no specific reference to the interest as a royalty interest. Now, interestingly, in Altman, the right to develop specifically conveyed, specifically included in the interest being created. You cannot have a royalty interest and a right to develop together. Those two are inconsistent because you cannot develop a royalty interest. Royalty interest is non-possessory. Court of Appeals in El Paso, in this case, held that the right to develop was conveyed in the policy. Now, we contend it was not. Understood and agreed that this commands a royalty interest only.
The, only order the significance of whether this conveys a mineral interest or a royalty interest is in the implication of whether the right to develop has been conveyed. Isn't that, I mean, what's the significance about these deeds as to whether it's called mineral interest or a royalty interest? They're pretty specific about what gets transferred and what doesn't. Why is it important that one's got to be a royalty interest as opposed to a mineral interest?
The significance is the right of production that a mineral interest is entitled to, and the right of in the amount of production that a royalty is entitled to. If this is considered as a mineral interest, the owner of this interest, our clients, are entitled to a 1656 of the royalty retained in any oil and gas leases, because the mineral interest is leased before it's developed in most cases. If it's construed by this court as a royalty interest, it's entitled to an undivided 1656 of total production.
And the deed says that it's agreed that this is a conveyance of a royalty interest only.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. I understood you to say earlier that it was inconsistent to grant a right to develop and a royalty interest at the same time. Is that your argument, or in the same document? There's not any inconsistency otherwise.
No, Your Honor, there's not.
A grantee could hold both rights in different proportions.
Yes, Your Honor. The case law has established that you cannot have a royalty interest and the right to develop only. A royalty interest cannot be developed. A royalty interest, by definition, does not include the right to develop.
Only.
And the Court of Appeals used that argument, as the respondents do, to say that this deed had to convey a mineral interest because the right to develop was included in the conveyance. And we contend it was not included. The only thing included was a royalty interest. Now, the grantor sought to describe that further. Belts and suspenders, he specifically mentioned three of the rights that were not included. But the right to develop was not mentioned, but the word royalty interest only specifies what the only interest being conveyed. That's all I have. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Thank you, counsel. The court is ready to hear argument from respondent.
May it please the court. W.B. Browder and Chad Davis present arguments to respondents. Present the first statement.
Good morning. My name is Jeb Davis. I'm from Midland, Texas. I have been allotted the time for the oil companies and the purchasers of oil and gas production to argue this case. Mr. Browder will be arguing for the mineral and/or royalty owners who are in direct conflict insofar as who owns the interest under the properties. This is a single-issue case on whether the conveyance at issue conveys a mental interest with reservation of certain rights normally associated with the mental interest, or whether the conveyance at issue is that of a royalty interest. The Court of Appeals and Trial Courts held that it is a mental interest. We believe correctly so. The petitioners contend royalty interest. This case, in my opinion, cannot be distinguished from Altman v. Blake, which is this court's opinion, in 1986, which relied heavily on Delta Drilling Company, Chief Justice Greenhill opinion, from which the distinguishing of Watkin v. Slaughter and all occurred. The first paragraph of the deed, we agree. I think there, I was advised there before the court, a handout that the petitioners gave the court that has the specific language. The first paragraph, unquestionably, everyone agrees, conveys mental interest. Bargain set over and assign an undivided 50-acre interest, being an undivided the fraction interest into all oil, gas, and minerals that may be produced from the described land. And it goes on to describe a 32,000-acre group of land. The second paragraph of the instrument unquestionably reserves rights in the grantor. It reserves the right to bonus, it reserves the executive right, and it reserves the delay right.
If it had reserved the right to develop, would that have made this a royalty interest?
No.
What more could this deed have said to have created a royalty interest as opposed to conveying mineral interest?
Well, if we were to redraft the instrument, you could just redraft the one over.
Well, let me leave the first paragraph in. What more could the deed have said to say we're not conveying a mineral interest, we're only conveying a royalty interest?
The first paragraph is a classic conveyance of a mineral interest. Altman versus Blake says once you convey a mineral interest, the reserving of various attributes of that does not metamorphosize the interest from a mineral interest to a royalty interest. I guess there could have been more detail specifically how you could have put in more detail into how that interest would share in the royalty under any oil and gas lease.
Does that not do violence with the rules of construction for the deed that says you have to read the deed as a whole to determine what was conveyed? I mean, doesn't that mean you just literally have to take a marker and strike out royalty interest only?
No, and that's really the point I'm getting to. When these petitioners leave here today, they're going to have a royalty interest only. Under either hold. The question is not whether they have a right, a royalty interest right. The question is the quantum of royalty. And the quantum of royalty is determined whether this is a mental conveyance with a grant of royalty rights or grant of royalty interest. And the distinguishing thing, I think, in this whole deed is the grant of a mental interest in one and the reservation of rights in the other. So when we leave here today, as I understand it, there's no possible result other than a royalty interest that the court can adjudicate or judge.
Because the other four interests were clearly reserved for the grantor.
I don't know about the question of development is not before the court, and I'm not sure that Day and Company versus Texlin, the greatest possible estate rule, would not pass the right to develop. But Shipper versus Smith and Altman versus Blake and those line of cases clearly say that there are five attributes of a mineral estate, any one or more of which in combination can be granted or reserved. What we're saying here is simply, I think as I can say it, is this is a conveyance of one of five sticks, or possibly two, depending on the right of develop, which is not an issue, with a reservation of three more. That's what Austin versus Blake said in 1986, and they distinguished Watkins versus Slaughter.
Using the word only then was not necessary or had no effect?
This is my explanation of that, Your Honor. It says this is understood and agreed this conveyance is a royalty interest only. It is used in the second paragraph where the reservation of the other attributes of the mineral estate are made. I think it was to add emphasis in the mind of this drafter that the only one of the mineral sticks that would pass was the royalty part and a reservation of the balance. I think, having examined titles, I think, and having, you know, there's not much else to do in West Texas but look at title opinions and practice oil and gas law, but I think that this was an intention on the part of the drafter to clarify the grant as a mental stick and reserve the balance of the right. Obviously, I don't think this case would have popped out to the court had that one provision not been there. And in effect, this is the petitioner's whole argument.
What about Watkins?
Watkins was a reservation, not a grant. Altman was a grant. Paul is a grant. That's one distinguishing characteristic. Watkins was a single sentence. Now, granted, I'm not trying to argue the court to go to the form over the substance. But in one expression of an idea, the court held it was a conveyance for royalties. Here, in one separate paragraph, they clearly grant a mental interest. And in the second paragraph, it's clearly intended, which is hereby specifically reserved. This whole paragraph is a reservation paragraph.
Would you amplify your explanation of Watkins?
Well, Justice Greenhill and Delta Drilling distinguished it. Altman versus Blake distinguished it. And the Court of Appeals below distinguished it. I think the distinguishing facts or attributes of the interest that were relied on by Judge Greenhill and Delta Drilling were carried forward in these opinions, which was the royalty is retained only from actual production, was the language of the Watkins case.
Do you then not agree with Mr. Rector that the from actual production is not a significant distinction?
It's not mandatory. I agree with that. And to the extent the Court of Appeals said from actual production is mandatory, I don't think that is correct. But
Do you agree that that really wasn't, Watkins really didn't focus on from actual production as being the key language in the deed that made it a royalty?
I think from actual production is what other courts have interpreted the meaning of Watkins. Quite candidly, there is not a bright line test between Altman versus Blake and Watkins versus Slaughter.
Other than Watkins versus Slaughter, the deed uses a language that receive a royalty interest, and in Altman versus Blake, it's silent about the royalty, but both have this introductory paragraph about what's being transferred.
Yes, but I do know this, I think, Your Honor. Well, the Watkins court said the fact that they called it, the Watkins court did not go off on the fact that they used the word royalty in the conveyance. The Watkins court went off on the fact that the interest retained was from actual production. That's my reading of it, Your Honor. In summary, Mr. Browder is going to argue next. I had dinner with him last night. I wouldn't make these kind of comments. But he told me that his first case he argued was in the 40s. And my research indicates he's argued in the 50s. 60s, 70s, 80s, and now the 90s, six decades of oil and gas law. He was my mentor, and Mr. Horner, of course, the amicus filer, was my law school professor. The distinguishing argument I make to the amicus brief is the amicus brief tries to take the position that you have to convey two of the five attributes. It's a two of five attribute test. And the Schittler versus Smith, Altman versus Blake say any one or more of the five can be conveyed in combination, conveyed or reserved in combination. Appreciate your time. Thank you.
The honors, please. The first time I read this deed, and I have submitted it to the district judge, and the first time he read it, he asked me questions. Is this a royalty deed? Because he saw this expression of a royalty. The same thing happened to me when I argued in the Court of Appeals in El Paso. The honors, the more you look at this instrument, the more you consider the cases, the more I believe you will decide it is a mineral deed. Alfred versus Crum, not involved. Jupiter versus Snow is not involved, Your Honor. Your case, Your Honor, the local versus White is directly involved because it defines what is a royalty. Alvin versus Blake defines royalty. Royalty is the production. Your Honor, they were five, six to me is the best illustration, and I get it from Schlichter versus Smith, which is cited, Your Honor, in your decision on Luckel versus White. It's your decision in Luckel versus White. It has never been overruled. Schlichter versus Smith says that in this conveyance, such as we have here, which says we convey this interest in the minerals, the mineral estate, it is important, Your Honor, to notice that it is a conveyance of an undivided 50-acre mineral interest. That is, you could take a 50-acre tract, go in the southeast corner, and say, this is the tract from which we make a conveyance of the minerals. It is important to note that it is a 50-acre mineral interest, not a royalty interest. Then is a conveyance of the oil.
Yes. In other words, if you were going to convey a fraction of the total royalty interest, you'd have to think a while before you came up with this fraction.
That's what this is. It's as if taking this 656% comes out to the 50 acres of the 32,000-acre range. Actually, petitioner doesn't argue that this is not a grant of the minerals. At least I don't understand. If it is a grant of the minerals, according to Slinger versus Smith, which this court has cited and cited two or three times in the Luckel record, all five sticks, I didn't make this up, I got it from this Slinger version. The five sticks are conveyed. The right to lease, the right to bonus, the right to delay rentals, and the right to production. All of those were granted. That, I argue, and I hope I don't confuse anybody. To me, there was a grant of royalty. Because that was one of the five sticks. And this court has said royalty is the production. And what it did is reserve to the grantor Calvin the right to lease this royalty. And this royalty was leased with a lease, conveyance of 7/8, with a reservation of the 8th to the royalty owners, to the lessors. And this was a part of the mineral interest that was conveyed. There's nothing contradictory about this deed. Your Honor, if they had said in this deed, this is an oil and gas lease, not a conveyance, you would have had conflict. I think the court's holding would be that you would look to the granting clause to control the instrument. That's what we hear from most of the cases. This granting clause conveyed a particular interest in all of the mineral estate.
How do you deal with the fact that the conveyance says this is a royalty interest only?
I read that, and I think, Your Honor, myself, that this was a conveyance of the royalty interest. But that needs a right to lease over here with this that's reserved to Mr.
But when it says only, what does only do to that?
I think, as Mr. Davis said, people signing this thing want to be sure that the grantee didn't get any of the right to lease or any of the bonus or delay rentals. If you say that it is a royalty deed, by reason of this one statement, look at the title that these people put here. Now, title does not absolutely say what the instrument is, but it can be evidence of what the instrument is. That's what Judge Greenhill said in the Delta Drilling Company. He refers to an instrument very similar to this. He calls, if you'll notice his opinion, in the Delta Drilling, he puts quote, mineral deeds at five different times. These parties, this is in 1943. We're not dealing with a 1925 estimate or 1926. These folks knew what they were doing. 1943, that's so far back.
Well, if the folks knew what they were doing, what were they telling the people in the chain of title of this deed? What were they telling was being attempted to be transferred by this deed? What, if I read that in my chain of title, what were they trying to tell me?
I think the more you consider this grant of the five pieces of the basically the oil, gas, and minerals, and we are saying here where it says royalty, we are saying this grantee for sure gets none of the bonus, delay rentals, etc. None of the right of lease.
He gets, would he get any of the right of producing or development?
They would get their part of the royalty, of the production. They would get the 656 and the 1/8 royalty in the lease. That's what they got. That's what they thought they would get. We think that was it. They got this stick, this royalty stick, subject to it being leased. When it was leased, then the lessor gave 7/8 to the oil company and retained a 1/8 royalty. And they have their interest in that 1/8 royalty. That 7/8 was conveyed to get production. The 7/8 was to pay the oil company to get production, development. You know, this is what, in defining the royalty, in Altman versus Blake, the court said there are five essential attributes, the right to develop, etc. The right to receive delayed rentals remains an interest in the minerals. We conclude that the grantee was the owner of a mineral interest. That's what he was. He became an owner of the mineral interest.
Counsel,
that's
you,
what Paul did.
Your position is that we can distinguish Watkins because it modifies the royalty interest by saying that it's from actual production. That was in the Watkins lease.
Your Honor, I can't do better than the Supreme Court did, so I followed the Altman versus Blake in distinguishing Watkins versus Slaughter. I mean, if the Supreme Court leaves, I'll follow where it is. It's very faithful anyway.
Well, I'm trying to get on this road. What royalty would not be from actual production? I mean, is there a... Watkins used it, and it's not up there, but as I understand it, used the term royalty retained herein from actual production. What kind of royalty would you have that would not come from actual production? I'm trying to understand why that Watkins language was considered important by the court in Altman and how that's to make a permanent distinction.
In the Altman versus Blake, which went back, I think, to the Delta Drilling Company case, but it distinguishes the Watkins versus Slaughter. Unlike in this case, however, the deed in Watkins unequivocally stated the grantor should, quote, receive the royalty retained herein only from actual production. That's not in the Paul deed, and that's what the Supreme Court says twice, particularly in Altman versus Blake.
I hear that in Altman. I'm trying to understand why that's important enough to be dispositive. in the case.
Where
else can royalty come from?
It's important to me because it is distinguished. When I personally think the courts have tried to get away from Watkins versus Slocum. And they've used this description, this change, and I believe that's Judge, I believe it's Commission of Appeal. I know it's Supreme Court opinion adopted. It's interesting to know. I can't help but say. It's interesting to know the counsel don't put in here on this Watkins versus Slocum. He apologized for not putting it in there. Come out of production only.
Any other questions? Thank you, counsel.
Please report. The parties do not agree that the first part of this deed in the Paul deed conveys a mineral interest. I believe what Mr. Rector's statement was that initial description of the interest standing alone, if that interest were not further defined, would clearly be the conveyance of a mineral interest. But that's not what happens here. Just like in Watkins versus Slaughter, that interest is subsequently defined as a royalty interest, and even more explicitly than in Watkins versus Slaughter, a royalty interest only. So we clearly do not agree with the appellees that initial language conveys a mineral interest. We only agree that it would if that interest were not further defined as a royalty interest. But doesn't that definition, royalty, jumps back in the initial description.
Doesn't it make more sense that you would convey the royalty on an undivided 50-acre part of the tract than to say, well, I just think he ought to get a 1/656.17th of all the royalties. Well, how'd you get that number? Well, I was sitting here thinking about what'd be fair, and it just seemed like that'd be right. It seems like that the whole import of this deed is to convey the royalties on an undivided 50-acre tract. Why is that not so?
Well, because I think, Your Honor, that you're yielding to the temptation to look beyond what's in the deed.
No, it refers to the undivided 50-acre interest.
Right. But that is a further reference to the 1/656. It's no different than a 1/32nd. It is a percentage or a ratio description of the interest. And that ratio also works out to the same ratio, obviously, if you divide the 50 acres by the total acreage in the tract.
All I'm saying is it bears some relationship to 50 and the total number of acres in the tract.
The same relationship.
It doesn't bear any relationship to the total royalties and anything else.
Well, except that without trying to second guess what the drafter might have intended, it specifically says this is a conveyance of a royalty interest and this is a conveyance of a royalty interest only.
You would get a royalty interest only if you just got the royalties on an undivided 50-acre tract.
I'm sorry?
The respondent's argument, as I understand it, is no matter what, you're going to get a royalty interest on it. That's true, isn't it?
Yes, but the important difference is whether it's a total production or the royalty reserve in a particular lease.
But with respect to the language in the deed where it says this is a royalty interest only,
right,
both under your position and respondent's position, that's all you're going to get is a royalty.
Yes, but it's a royalty that
it's
is the total
whether
production.
It's this fraction of an eighth or this fraction of the total.
Exactly. That's the argument. That's the difference of opinion that we have. It is clear here that
is there a question about whether the development rights have been transferred by this deed or not?
There seems to be a lot of argument about that. I don't see what the argument could be about because the right to develop is not specifically granted, number one, but more important, the drafter went out of his way to say this is a royalty interest only. I mean, our position is clearly that the right to develop was not conveyed.
Because of the language in this deed. So if it was determined that this was conveyance of mineral interest, then, as has been argued, there's an implied transfer of one of those sticks. So this isn't simply a royalty the amount of royalty issue. There is an issue here about what actually got transferred.
Right. I think under their position, they're saying that it's a conveyance of a mineral interest, and thus there was also a conveyance of a right to develop. And since you can't have a conveyance of a right to develop and the right to royalty, there must not be a conveyance of a royalty. It's a circular argument. I mean, look at the ridiculous result that would come here if you said that there was a 1656 royalty and a 1656 right to develop that was also conveyed. I mean, you'd be putting this guy in a position where he can't sign a lease to contract away the right to develop the property to an oil company. He can only develop that himself. He doesn't have the right to develop and hence the right to assign that right to develop. So he's got to, at his expense, go drill a well, but he's only going to get 1656 of the product. Now, that's the ridiculous result that this court would reach if it determined that this was a conveyance of a mineral interest and thus that it included the conveyance of the right to develop. I think the bottom line is that there is no way that you can distinguish this case from Watkins versus Slaughter. It clearly shows you that the initial description of the interest is a description of a royalty interest. This court is going to have to reverse Watkins versus Slaughter if it decides to affirm the Court of Appeals, and it's going to have to reverse Luckel versus White, and it's going to have to reverse all the title opinions that have relied on those cases over the years. We ask that the court not do that. We ask the court to reverse the Court of Appeals. Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you, counsel. In my introductory remarks, I omitted to mention that. Yes, but let me make one sentence first. I omitted to mention that Ms. Priscilla Owen of the Houston Bar is here with us. She will be assuming a place on this court on January 1 of next year, so please don't look at her notes. The court will now take a brief recess, and we'll come back to hear argument in the remaining.
Rise.